Thank you. Good evening, everyone. You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 15. So this is the second of 4 weeks where we're going to hear from our interns. And as Jonathan's already told us, we had Rob last week and we get to hear from Nick tonight. And this is one of the passages that he's going to be preaching on. So it'll be up on the screen as well, but I encourage you to have it open because he's going to refer back to it as well. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Nick, and I'm an intern here at Siege Uniting Church. So I'll just open in prayer, if you could bow your heads, please. Father, I just pray that you would just soften our hearts and open our ears to hear what you've got for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and that we would leave here changed, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the internship this year, this term, we've been looking at risk and faith. So Shane started off by giving us a list of declarations. So a few of them will be on the screen. So, my life of risk matches my life of faith. I'm a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. I run at my Goliath because I have a big God living in me. That one's pretty empowering. And I consistently provide others with an encounter with God. So the point of doing these was so that we would pick one or a couple and we'd say them over our lives every single day. And the point of this was by speaking truth over your life, it actually transforms your life and brings freedom. So the title of this message tonight will be "An Encounter with God Changes Lives." So the plan for tonight is I'm going to go through some examples in scripture and then chat about how this has worked in my life. If you could repeat after me the title of the message, "An Encounter with God Changes Lives." Not exactly persuasive yet, but hopefully by the end of it, you'll believe it. So what is an encounter with God? In John 14, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known the Father." And he also says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So we know that in Jesus' life, he didn't just spend his time walking around performing miracles after miracles. He did do that, but that wasn't every second. He actually demonstrated God through his nature, through his kindness and love, and the gentleness and all that is embodied in God's nature. So as we journey with the Lord, we become more and more Christ-like. Christ is like the Father, as he said. And so as we become more Christ-like, we actually get to demonstrate God to others. And it's not necessarily all those super miracles and wonders that Jesus performed, but I'm not limiting us because we actually have the power through the Holy Spirit to do that. An encounter with God changes lives. So The Bible reading Shane read out really stuck out to me when I was looking through. And the context is Elisha was being hunted by the king of Syria because Syria was trying to attack and conquer Israel. And it actually says in scripture and a bit earlier that anything the king of Syria whispered in his bedroom, Elisha heard and told the king of Israel straight away. So his plans were spoiled every single time. And so the king of Syria decided to bring an army and surround Elisha and take him out, so the problem was removed. So Elisha's servant woke up, he saw this, he was pretty terrified, and he went straight away to warn Elisha. Elisha, without showing any fear, said to him, "We have greater numbers than they do." And in Romans 8, chapter 31, it says, "If God is for us, who can stand against us?" Elisha knew this and could actually see it. So he prayed that his servant would also see it and not be operating off of just blind faith. On the other side of the story, the Syrian army were met with an incredible encounter with God. They were blinded after Elisha prayed. They were taken to Samaria. And I assume they were expected to be slaughtered. And that's what the king of Israel wanted to do. But Elisha said, "No, why don't we bless them? Why don't we give them some water and some food?" And so the king said, "All right, we'll give them a slice of bread and a cup of water." No, that's not what the scripture says. The king actually gave them a great feast and he sent them on their way unharmed back to their master, and they didn't attack again. This is the power that an encounter with God can have with people. It's a perfect picture of how Jesus instructs us to deal with our enemies. In Matthew 5, he says, "Love your enemies and bless those who persecute you." So now I'll share a more well-known story, and this is Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. So you can go there if you've got your Bibles, but I'll just be summarising it. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul is going to, he went to the synagogues and asked for letters to any of the synagogues in Damascus so that he could head in there and take out anyone that was belonging to the name of Jesus, anyone following the way. And so he was on his way to Damascus with warrants to arrest these Christians and persecute them. And on his way, a light blinded him, and a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who is it, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And then he sends him into Damascus, and so Paul spends 3 days there without eating. And Jesus appears to a disciple that's already in Damascus named Ananias. And he says to him, "Ananias, you must go and speak to Paul of Tarsus and pray for him that he will receive his sight back." And so according to the world's standards, this is someone who's coming in to persecute you personally. So you would not think that your God would be telling you to go and pray for them to help him out. But he's obedient and does that. So he prays for him, Paul receives his sight back, and he gets baptized, and his physical needs are met by Ananias, and he gives him food and water. The scripture goes on to say that Paul spent some time with the disciples in Damascus, and then this is the crazy part. He goes into the synagogues preaching to the Jews that Jesus is the Son of God. So Saul came into town looking to attack any Christians, and he leaves town preaching Jesus as passionately as anyone's done before. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to flick to Luke chapter 19, and it should be on screen. So this is a well-known Sunday school story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. So he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. But he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to my Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So here we see Jesus showing love and kindness, not necessarily miracles, but love and kindness and gentleness with Zacchaeus. And his response is remarkable. So in each of these stories, we have they're coming in a certain way, they encounter God, and they leave a completely changed person. So in the first one with Elisha, the Syrians are attacking, looking to persecute, looking to kill Elisha. They leave and they're blessed and they don't attack again, unharmed. With Saul, similarly to that, he comes in looking to persecute and tear down the name of Jesus, anyone who belongs to it and anything to do with it. He encounters Jesus personally, changes, and now he's passionately gave his life up to advance the gospel. And you read through the rest of the Bible, and Saul is just a maniac for Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he was a rich man, a thief, and a crooked tax collector. He was taking what wasn't his. He encounters Jesus in a loving way and gentleness of Jesus. And he responds by giving half of what was his away to the poor. And you can imagine being a rich man, a rich person. Even if we don't have much, it's hard to give away half of what we have to people we don't even know. And Zacchaeus is rich. He gives away half of what he has to the poor people. And he pays back anyone he stole from, four times the amount. An encounter with God changes lives. So this all happened in the Bible, but does it still happen today? Absolutely it does. For myself, I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't really live my faith out. I was more of a Sunday Christian. At an Easter camp in year 11, I had an encounter with God. I remember my friends telling me on that camp that on the Sunday night service, everyone cries. And I was like, what is this? Like, what's going on? So I rocked up to that service, set that I was going to go in, not cry, but still find out what was happening. So I went in there and the guest speaker actually said that he's not even going to preach tonight, but he decided to put a stage block out, like one of these, out the front, and said that he feels like there's people in here who don't feel like they're loved. And so he put the stage block out the front and he said, I want anyone who feels this way to come down and to say, I am lovely and I am loved, and to declare that over their life. And so a guy went down there and he broke the ice and he said this. And as soon as he finished the sentence, he broke down crying. And I was like, sitting there like, what is going on? And so after he broke the ice, people went down there to comfort him, and people were just pouring down the aisles to do the same thing because they all felt the same way. Every single time, they finished the sentence, broke down crying, and everyone was just getting around each other. And I was just sitting in my chair thinking, not necessarily that I don't feel loved, but that I'm definitely not going down there and I'm definitely not crying. And so I was sitting in my chair and I just got overwhelmed by the Spirit and I started crying for no reason at all. And in hindsight, this is pretty silly, but I actually asked God, if you're real, as if his Spirit wasn't present at the time, if you're real, bring Louise, who was a family friend, up to me. And straight, like, she was down the front comforting others, and straight away she turned around and came up and sat next to me and started comforting me. And so this encounter really concreted for me that God was real, but I didn't really do anything with it. I went back to the old way I was living, and it sort of was with me for a bit, the sort of Easter camp high, and then it wore off. A few years later, I was going to a Bible study with my sister and brother-in-law, and I was asking all these questions afterwards, mainly because I wanted to know more about God so that I could actually debate with other people better and argue better. And Marcus, who's here, was actually, he was pretty patient with me, giving me pretty good answers until eventually I think he just got fed up and he gave me the best advice I'd ever received. And he just told me the answers are in the book, just like read a chapter a day and it'll change your life. So I started reading a chapter a day, and for anyone who knows me before this, I actually hated reading, couldn't read a book to save my life. And so I started reading, and I'd get to the end of the chapter and I would just be so bored and just be glad to just put it down and tick the box, I've read the Bible for the day. And after like consistently doing this for a few weeks, I actually started to develop a love for the Bible. And I wasn't just reading it to know more about God so that I could argue better, but I was actually reading it so that I could know him. And it started to change my life. And this was so evident to my friends that they actually admitted to me that something had changed in my life. They knew I was a Christian the whole time, but something had changed in my life. I then had the privilege of sharing with them, and more in particular Zach, more about God and more about my faith. I bought him a Bible and we started reading it together. And he actually started to see change in his own life, and I could see it from the outside as well. He didn't just feel it, but I could see it physically happening. And this didn't all happen in the blink of an eye. It was over a period. But I'm not going to limit God and say that he can't do that. So with you, if you're discipling anyone, don't be discouraged if they're not changing quickly or things aren't happening, because God, if he starts a work, he always brings it to completion. God can encounter us in so many different ways. For me, it was a powerful experience at Easter camp from the Holy Spirit, and then years later through his word. He desires to encounter us, and he wants to use us to encounter others. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, repeat after me: God lives in me. And now say, I can provide others with an encounter with God. You might have had a similar experience to me where you encountered God at a camp or just a time in your life and it just didn't last. You might have had a spiritual high for a bit. Most Easter camps seems to happen where it's just so high. And then for me, it definitely wore off. But I want to encourage you that that doesn't have to happen. When you experience God and you encounter God, we have an obligation, because he has given us free will to actually do something with that. So he's not going to force us to have a relationship with him. But if we choose to have a relationship with him, he's faithful and he's not going to turn us down. So for me, it was reading the Bible. And I believe that actually doesn't just apply for me. I think it applies for everyone. Just start small, a chapter a day, half a chapter a day. And you will develop a love for it, even if you hate it at first. Prayer, something I still struggle with, but it doesn't have to be hour-long sessions, but just consistent prayer, just consistent communion with the Father. So I want to destroy the lie that receiving prayer is weak. You might have felt in services where people are like, oh, come down the front and receive prayer, and you're just sitting there like, no way. That was what I was doing at Easter camp. But that is not true. It actually shows great humility. And the Bible says that those who humble themselves will be exalted. And prayer is so powerful. So if you please bow your heads now and close your eyes. So if you don't know God, but you want to, then could you please raise your hand? And I'd love to pray with you. And if you've had an encounter with God, but it didn't last, then please raise your hand and I'd love to pray with you. For anything else you'd like prayer for, there'll be people down the front after the service, there'll be people around. We'd love to pray with you. God wants to know you and he wants you to know him. So I'll just close in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you love us. You've done so much so that we could know you. And I just pray, Father, that you would encounter us here and you would lead us into relationship with you, and you would walk alongside of us, teaching us to become more and more like you. I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power and peace that it brings to us. Doesn't matter what challenge is going on in our lives, we can overcome that through your strength. So Father, I just pray that as we leave here, this won't just be an everyday message, this won't just be an encounter that wears off, but it will sustain, Father. It will last. Father, I pray that you just draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name.